Good morning, Bill. I don't know how much you've been able to watch at this point, but I was curious what you saw from Rob Gronkowski's blocking in the game, you know, something that is easier to evaluate after getting a look at the film.
Yeah, I thought Rob blocked competitively. We got overall a real good effort in the running game from everybody, really, the tight ends, the fullback, the offensive line. I thought Jonas read the blocks well and got good yardage on the plays, but there was certainly a lot of good blocking in front of him. Rob was part of it. It wasn't perfect by anybody, but it was overall, I would say, good. We had some good holes to run through, and you know, Tom did a good job as well in getting us into the best play a couple times or getting us out of a bad play in a couple situations as well. So really is a good team effort from the players, and all the guys were a part of it. I wouldn't, put really too many ahead of anybody else. It was all a good part of it, and I thought that the offensive coaching staff had a great plan, scheme, and again, we were able to handle some looks that weren't favorable one way or another and get those plays blown up.
Hi, Bill. Just noticed last night watching the game that it was Kyle Arrington who was lined up across from T.Y. Hilton a lot in that game last night. I know you used some different guys, but I noticed Kyle there a lot. And I'm just wondering what you guys as a coaching staff thought made Kyle a good matchup for Hilton.
Well, you know, we just try to – I don't know if it's so much that – you know, one guy is the perfect guy to cover somebody. It's just when you look at your team and you look at their team and you try to figure out what's the best way for us to play this team, particularly in man-to-man situations, you try to do it in a way that you feel like gives you the best chance. So that, covers a lot of things, what players are, where they line up, and you know, what skills they have and kind of where our help would be on the majority of our plays. So those are all factors. And just have to combine them all and, try to figure it out. You know, the Colts are a little bit of a challenge there because the different personnel and different personnel groups that they use some four wide receivers, they use some two tight ends. I mean, I know Allen got hurt in the game, but still, when he was in there, they had their two tight end groups with Fleener, and then they had the three receiver groups with and without Fleener. So there were a lot of different matchups that Coach Patricia and Coach Boyer and Coach Flores had to kind of sort out and, go through relative to the receivers and our defensive backs. But Kyle's done a good job for us. He's very athletic and physical, and, good tackler. Like, we saw that on the kickoff return. I mean, that was might have been one of the bigger plays in the game. We really had poor coverage on that play, and he was able to come in from the outside and make a great open field tackle there at the 25-yard line. But we've all seen those kind of plays not get made, and then you have a 90-yard return or whatever. So I mean, those are some of the things that Kyle does well and very dependably. He can run, he can tackle, he's a physical player.
I just had sort of a quick follow-up that, Bill. You mentioned the man coverage and just kind of figuring out what the best matchups are for you guys, and I know you mentioned last night that those matchups kind of changed a little bit when Allen left the game for the Colts. And so I'm just wondering, when there's an injury like that, do you have to kind of get everybody on the sideline and kind of reconvene and reset, who's going to have who the next time out in the field? Or do you prepare for, that possibility before the game so everybody kind of knows what will happen? I'm just wondering how you guys sorted that out when that player went out of the game.
Yeah, no, well, that's a great question, Phil, and there's, I'll just say, I think it's a kind of a two-part answer. Yes, it there's definitely some moving parts and a little bit of juggling the ball there when that happened. You know, it came up in the Denver game last week or 2 weeks ago. Where when Welker went out and so Tammy came in, and so it was a different a different personnel group that they were featuring. With the Colts was a little bit different because they used a lot of different combinations anyway. So in their case, you had to go through the matchups, with whichever two of the three tight ends were on the field. Well, first of all, there could be any one of the three tight ends on the field when they were in three receiver sets. It could have been, Fleener, Allen, or Doyle, not very much of Doyle, but one of the other two. And then when there were two tight ends on the field, it could be any two of the three of Doyle, Allen, and Fleener. So, and then you have the receiver situation where Nix and Moncrief were kind of, they used both of those guys as the third receiver, and then there were times when all four receivers were on the field. So there's definitely a lot of, there were a lot of considerations in the Indianapolis game here in terms of doing that. I'd say probably was in a way a little bit harder in the Denver game when Welker went out, because that's something that we really hadn't practiced as much. We figured that if they lost a receiver, that they would probably go with Caldwell as their third guy, as opposed to going with Tammy kind of as the slot receiver. But in any case, that was an adjustment for us. But the flip side of that question is, on our side of it, we have our matchups, but then if one of our players were to, be out for a series or something, then that spins the wheel on our side of it too. So, and of course we practice that way in rotation, and we take one player out and then, everybody else has to adjust. But in a situation like the Colts where, you have both wheels spinning, you have potential changes on our end, and then you have a lot of different personnel groups on their end, it does force the defensive backs to, have a good communication and understanding of the total package, not just, what they're doing. So, I thought that, Devin and the entire secondary, but particularly Devin, in terms of communication, did a good job of kind of working those out. But the players, themselves, Revis, Browner, Chung, Arrington, Logan Ryan, also had to, sort some of those things out themselves. And especially there's a number of times when they got into like tight splits and bunch formations that, it's not just covering your guy. It's also understanding that there's going to be traffic issues and trying to clean those up too. So that's all a big part of it. And this is a challenging game from that standpoint because of the variables on their side.
Bill, two of the guys that stood out in who you've addressed, of course, in the last 24 hours, Jonas Gray, Kyle Arrington, are players who previously had been with other organizations and spent time specifically on practice squads, in the case of Jonas with Baltimore. And he's talked about how valuable that experience was for him, just the beating that he took in developing the toughness it takes to be in the NFL, going against the Ravens defense on a regular basis. How do you characterize the importance of that experience for these guys who come out of college and have an opportunity to get acclimated to the NFL game, but also kind of refine a lot of the maybe what would have been weaknesses in their skill sets coming out of college and just have that player development time, whether it's on your practice squad or somebody else's?
Yeah, well, I think that's key, Bob. And I think, when you look at the National Football League and you look at the skill level of the players coming into the league from college, that there's really a gap. I mean, there just is. It's inherent. And that the amount of development that rookie players make from, or I'd say that NFL players make from where they were in college to where they are in the NFL, usually by that second, third, fourth year, is very, very significant. And there are some players that come in and, roster in their first year and, you know, are able to, you know, do a little bit. You know, generally speaking, there aren't a lot of real big impact rookies in the league. I mean, you know, there's a few guys that play but you know, overall, the impact guys, it's a relatively small group every year. But then, in that second, third, fourth year, as those players improve, you know, obviously they become the core of your team. And there are a lot of players that come in, like Jonas, like Kyle, like, you know, Dan Connolly, like, you know, Wendell. I mean, you just go right down the line. We got them everywhere. James Devlin, so forth and so on, that aren't, for whatever reason, quite ready to roster or make the, you know, be able to contribute early. But, you know, over a period of time, whether that's a year or sometimes 2 years, you know, their experience level, sometimes it's their physical maturity in the weight room, sometimes it's their skill set, particularly as it relates to the passing game in the NFL, sometimes it's just, you know, experience of just, you know, seeing things and reacting to them quicker and being able to, you know, play faster and play more aggressively. So, you know, I think it's no different than in college. You know, you see a few freshmen and impact freshmen in college football, but, you know, overall not all that many. But obviously, you know, in time those players become, you know, the outstanding players in college football, but a lot of them are on the bench or, you know, or situational players earlier in their career. And I think that's, again, just indicative of the level of development that we need in this league. And as we've talked about, the development opportunities for players are, especially young players, are, you know, somewhat limited based on, you know, everything. So, you know, it's that process now might be a little more lengthy than it was, you know, maybe when I was coaching at the Giants in the 80s, for example.
Well, Bill, I know you've mentioned a few times in the last month or so, you know, crediting the coaches for the game plans. And obviously in the first month of the season, there were a couple times you mentioned we had to coach better. And I'm just wondering how much of it is what guys are doing now, the credit the coaches are getting is just basically getting a handle on what they have at their disposal and maybe the best way to utilize it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what, you know, what it's all about. It's as you coach through a season, you get a, you know, you start to learn as a coach things that your team can do, some of the things sometimes your team can't do, adjustments that they can make, adjustments that they have a hard time with, the multiple roles that different players have when it relates to, you know, all the different personnel groups and situations on offense and defense. And then you know, roll the kicking game in on top of that. You know, sometimes it takes a little while, you know, because each year you have a new composition of players on your team. You might have some guys that, you know, you've worked with before, but there's always a significant chunk of new players, and then you have some movement within, you know, the guys who are playing for one reason or another. So with all that being said, as a coaching staff, you do learn, and I'd say this has been true every year that I've coached, you know, things that you maybe can do in practice, things you can do in training camp, become more difficult, you know, in game situations, or maybe sometimes less difficult because of the offense or defense that you're working against on a daily basis. You know, sometimes as a defense, we work against our offense and struggle with things in practice, but it's really a lot easier in a game because some teams are don't have some of the variables that our offense has, and vice versa. So, and sometimes things that go well in practice, as you start game planning for other teams, it, you know, becomes you know, more of a struggle to get them done than what you anticipated it would, and then that all combines with different players working together and communication and so forth and so on. But, you know, over the course of time, and, you know, as you start, you know, adding practices and games and all those things together, you hopefully start to get a better handle on what you can and what you can't do, and what matchups are you think you can win on, and which ones you might have to try to protect, and you know, how your team responds to different methods of preparation, in terms of, you know, meetings, film, walkthroughs, practice. You know, there's some times when your team needs to just on the practice field practice something repetitively to get it right, and then there are other times when you can talk about a situation, kind of visualize a situation, go out there and do it, and with relatively little on the field practice time, you know, go out there and execute it at a pretty competitive level. So, you know, those are some of the things that you kind of, as the season goes along, you're working to improve on. But that being said, each week's a new week. So, like this week, we've never played the Lions, this team. So how that'll all work this week with the Lions is different than the way it worked last week with the Colts and so forth. So it's something that's constantly evolving, but one that as a coaching staff, you have to try to, you know, continually stay on top of and manage, as, like I said, as it relates to not just on offense and defense, because you can sometimes, you know, the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator and their respective staffs can coordinate, you know, what a guy's role is on that side of the ball. When you start throwing in there with the kicking game, then, you know, now one guy may have a, you know, significantly bigger role than another, and then, you know, the preparation for that and, you know, the load that those individual players carry and how to spread that out or not spread it out, as the case would be, that's all part of it too.
19 yards rushing for the Colts on 17 carries. When you reviewed, you know, the film this morning, what stood out to you that, you know, really helped contribute to that solid performance?
Good play by the players. You know, they give you a lot of Colts give you a lot of spread out formations, and most of their running game is checked. So they very rarely. Like, it's hard to dial up a defense and hit a play that's going to run right into the, you know, the eye of the storm. They're just not going to let that happen. So the plays that they do run are usually plays that, you know, they have numbers, they have blocking angles, they have, you know, a fair fight on the play. So that means you got to play good technique, you have to play good defense, and you have to tackle well. And I thought that, you know, our players did a good job of that. There weren't a lot of plays, or I'd say hardly any plays, really, where, you know, we had free guys or guys that were, you know, just standing in the hole unblocked. I mean, that happened a couple times, but those players were accounted for. We, you know, somehow, you know, like, you know, when Ninkovich slipped the block by Chehrilis and got inside for a negative play, or when, you know, easily knocked Fleener back and had a negative play on the outside. I mean, there were plays that we were blocked, but, you know, we defeated those blocks. Vince had some, you know, good plays inside. Branch had, you know, a good play where he, you know, pursued down the line of scrimmage and made a play on the other side of the ball. So, you know, I just think it was overall good playing by our defensive front and the secondary support people, which included, you know, Brown, Chung, McCourty, Arrington, so all those guys. And I'd say one of the biggest things that contributed to it was our tackling. I thought that we tackled well last night against, you know, good players, not just in the running game, but in the passing game as well, whether it be, you know, Bradshaw, Richardson, you know, Fleener, Luck, you know, Hilton, a couple opportunities with him. You know, we made tackles in the open field where the runner receiver was a couple yards short of the first down, but if those tackles weren't secured, you know, they would have gotten the first down. So I thought tackling was, you know, something that we did well last night, and, you know, the players really, really responded to that. That was, you know, I think always an area when you off of an extra week, or some, you know, an open week like we had last week, sometimes that's an area that flips a little bit out of, you know, lack of practice. But, you know, I thought our players really did a good job of concentrating and finishing those plays, and, you know, that made a huge difference for us. So good overall plan, and obviously, you know, Matt and the defensive staff had a good, you know, a good scheme to be able to, you know, handle a very difficult passing game, you know, as well as, like I said, a running game that, you know, is always looking for a soft spot.